crap way Newton's hitting on mom.
He's a legend of stage, song, and screen for what to many is their whole lifetime.
Doing six nights a week for 5 years gives you lots of time to practice. Yeah.
He's currently on tour sharing his talent, but also decades of stories.
I'm an open book, and I'm happier doing this than anything else I could think of doing.
But this really isn't necessary.
How often do you get to talk to someone with over 30,000 career performances?
Bless your heart.
Well, we do. Wayne Newton, now on The Pulse. Oh, and Wayne, watch out for that high note. Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. We tell you all the time that we're talking to cool people with amazing stories, but I don't get to often say that we are talking to, we use the word legend probably way too often, but it actually applies in certain circumstances, and I think today is one of them. Mr. Las Vegas, Wayne Newton joins us. How are you, sir?
How are you, Bill? Good to see you. Thank you.
It is absolutely my pleasure. What does it feel like when people say stuff like that? I mean, hearing that you're a legend across generations.
Well, the truth of the matter is that I don't think about it much. When people say that, it's a wonderful compliment. And we move on to the next question, you know?
All right, so we keep it moving.
Right.
How about to get there? How does a child, obviously I'm doing research, but how does a child from Norfolk end up dominating in some capacity Vegas entertainment as early as what, like 15?
I went to Las Vegas when I was 15 years old and auditioned for the Fremont Hotel downtown. And the gentleman listened to two songs, and he got up to leave. And I thought he was leaving the room. And I thought, well, back to Phoenix. And so he stopped before he went out the door, and he said, if we can get you a work permit, he said, I'll hire you guys for 2 weeks. So we didn't know what a work permit meant even. And we went back to Phoenix, get a call from his office the next day. They had gotten me the permit for us to come back and spend our 2 weeks. So when we got back to Vegas, they handed me the permit, which says, and I have it to this day because I never know when I'm going to need it. And it said, Wayne Newton can work the Fremont Hotel. He's just not allowed to be in the place he's working. And we didn't know what that meant. They gave us our schedule of shows, which was six shows a night, six nights a week, 40 minutes on stage, 20 minutes off, 40 on, 20 off, six times, right? And what the permit meant was that on that 20 minutes, I could not stay at any portion of that hotel. I had to go out and stand on a street corner.
Really?
And, yes.
Wow.
And that got people started coming to see the show, and that ended up being a 5-year contract at the end of it.
So a 5-year contract expires, and you're barely 20, and you have this experience.
Still not 21, which means that I was not allowed in any of the hotels other than to do the shows and leave.
Wow. Right. Who knew? So even at 15, you kind of knew you wanted to do this. At that young of an age, developing all that level of talent, I mean, obviously to go to Vegas, you're like, I'm in on this. This is sink or swim.
Well, it was wonderful for me because doing six shows a night, six nights a week, for 5 years gives you lots of time to practice. Yeah. And so we had many, many shows, and many different people coming to those shows, and they simply had to buy a 60-cent drink in order to sit there for six shows if they wanted to.
That's pretty cool. So that was the precursor. At 15, did you have any idea that I am essentially establishing what will be the Vegas residency?
No, I had no idea. In fact, I was just plain thrilled that we got the job. We started out at the Fremont making $600 a week. And so that was to pay for room and board. And we stayed in a motel for a year of that 6 years.
Wow. So obviously there's so many stories over a series of years and career and generations, but that's part of what you're doing. So the coming to Philadelphia over the holiday season, Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas, Memories and Melodies at City Winery here, but it's an ongoing tour. And that's what? Like, you're going to share these stories, you're going to perform. It's what exactly is going into the show?
What goes into the show is a good 2 hours of music, videos, explaining the people that helped me along the way. That's what the show had turned into when I wrote it. I wanted to thank the people that were responsible for giving me the breaks and making sure that that I stayed there and didn't get into trouble, didn't go down the wrong path, any of that stuff. And so I wrote this show, and I talk about all the people that helped me along the way, the Lucille Balls, the Bobby Darins, the Jackie Gleason's, on and on. And I'm not going to give away too much of what right. goes on in the show, because it really is an interesting show from the standpoint that the feedback I get from the people who come and see this show is, oh my God, we had no idea you went through all that stuff with all those people. And so it has turned into really a wonderful, wonderful show for me to do because I get to mention the people who helped me get to where I am today.
It is. It's got to be. And it's interesting. You kind of start mentioning names and then say we don't want to give away too much. And that part's interesting, because when you have performed, you know, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 shows and kind of you know, universally well known, it's hard to keep the rare stories, the untold stories, the personal stories. Is that part a challenge? Because you're unveiling more of yourself on this tour.
Yes, I am. And in fact, that's what people who maybe I see after the show, they talk about those things that they had no idea I had gone through. And of course, that turns into a whole different world too.
Yeah. So it's a thank you. It's a tribute to the folks. Like, why at this point in your career did you want to do this?
Well, I had been working so many different hotels, and I finally signed up with Caesar's Palace in Vegas, and they said, we want you to run a new show. Mm-hmm. One that people have not seen before. And so I sat down, and within 2 or 3 weeks, I had put together this new show. And I had no idea that I had as many clips from shows that I had done with some of the people that I'm mentioning. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience for me to be able to say, these people helped me. They went out of their way to make sure I survived this industry.
So it's almost like a chance. When I'm doing research and kind of Googling and looking at the pictures that you can find of you with everyone. I mean, there are pictures of you with pretty much everyone from world leaders to the biggest names in entertainment locally, nationally, internationally. It's almost like this show, we get to go through your phone like and see the pictures and things that you've experienced.
Yes, yes. And in fact, I've had people which surprised me, male and female, when after the show come up and say, I cried in that show. Wow. Which I never expected. And that was a wonderful compliment, but I think it gives people an insight as to what happened and where and why.
You said at 15, obviously, you didn't know that you were blazing a trail for Vegas residencies or what have you. You were still a kid. Now that you get a chance to kind of sit back and look at all of the different things that you've accomplished, what does it mean to you that people, even now, from, you know, 18 to 80, are familiar with your career and still want to come and see you?
It's the biggest compliment in the world, because it has given me the chance to say thank you to those people that meant so much to my life and still do. And so many of them are gone now, but I miss them the same as if they were here, yeah. You know. And so it gives me an opportunity, really, to let people into a world that they never dreamed was going on.
Do you still, at this point, again, you don't have to do this, so you must still love doing this if it's something. Because I would imagine touring and residencies and shows and writing shows, I mean, that's still work. Like, you have to love this.
I do love it, and in fact, I'm the happiest, other than, of course, my beautiful wife and children, and those kinds of things, but I'm the happiest on stage, because there's nothing that I'm dreading about being there, and so it's a wonderful feeling to just open up and say, here's what happened, and this is how it happened.
You said that people will see the show, tears, people have questions about, wow, I never thought you would share that, or I didn't know that that happened to you. And that's, you know, you're sharing, I haven't seen the show yet, but from what I've been told, you're sharing some really positive memories. You're sharing some challenges. Like, after you have decided to do this, still happy that you did? Any regrets, any questions, or you're just an open book?
I'm an open book, and I'm happier doing this than anything else I could think of doing.
Again, I'm looking at one of the things shocked me, and we said that we were going to stay away from some of the stories because we want people to come see the show and have them revealed. But one of the things that when I'm searching, you are very happy and proud to be entertainer and humanitarian and activist, and you're going through the list, and Arabian horse breeder. Like that, I kind of went, oh, okay. So how did that happen?
Well, the true fact of the matter is that the two loves of my life, in terms of things that I wanted to accomplish, were about music and about horses. I have always loved Arabian horses. And when I got involved with breeding them, we have bred national champions. We have bred international champions. We have sent horses all over the world, from Japan to Australia to the Middle East. You name it, you will find Wayne Newton bred horses in those areas.
And that's just something that you love doing and continue doing.
Yes. In fact, we still have 35 head of purebred Arabian horses at home.
Why do you think you were able to resonate with so many people for so long and continue to?
I think it's because I don't really talk about me as much as the journey that I've been on. And so people don't get the feeling that I'm bragging or I'm talking about things that I shouldn't be talking about, so on and so forth. It lets them into a window of my life that has been really tremendous from my standpoint, in addition to being able to share that with people.
I think people think you're fun. You look at like things like, you know, Ferris Bueller, I'm kind of pulling out of nowhere, and songs that people know, and appearances in shows, and Donka Shane. And, like, I feel like people just look at it and go, huh, he would be a good time, like, even at this point.
Well, I had dinner last night with some wonderful friends here in Montana, and the gentleman asked me, he said, do you ever think about writing a book? And I said, well, I've written one, and I've been asked to update that. And he said, are you going to? I said, really, I hadn't thought about it very much because of the amount of time that it takes to do that. And so I'm sure sometime, somewhere, I'll feel like maybe it's time to add another chapter to that book.
I don't know. That's 60 years of stories. Like, it takes most people a long time to write a book, and most people don't have 15 to now, you know, worth of stories. I think the show was probably the best path to go.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
Is there, when you've accomplished so much, continue to do it, you're now sharing stories, you're talking about a book, movies, career, what have you, is there anything left on your bucket list that you haven't done or really would like to do?
Not really. There are things I would like to continue doing.
Okay.
But in terms of things that I have experienced and gone through, for example, just to give you some, I am half Native American. Mm-hmm. And my father was from a tribe in Virginia that goes back to Pocahontas. Hmm. And so I'm a direct descendant, as I've been told, and so many historians have looked it up, that I am a direct descendant of Pocahontas. So it's those kind of things that I find out about my life that my father and mother never discussed with me. And it has been truly wonderful to find out those things as we go along in life. And it's a challenge each day to find out maybe what's next.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's interesting. I would have to imagine because I don't know. But when you're so involved and so out there and so many people are aware of your life, and that popularity is a very positive thing. That success is a positive thing, but it also means there's a whole bunch of people looking into your life and your business and what, so you're still learning things about you.
Absolutely. And, huh. And it's very interesting because, of course, I've got my own wife and family now. And as those things avail themselves to me, as we go down the path, it's really interesting to my family, too.
That's cool. Couple more things, and I appreciate you spending this much time. You are involved in a lot of different activities, charities, different work, and what have you. Did it start with, because you were one of the people who was very visible with the USO tours and what have you, before that was really a really well-known kind of thing?
Yes. I thought at one point in time in my life that maybe I would go into the military. Then, of course, when the time came to go to Phoenix for my to meet with the people who were, you know, drafting us,
yeah,
at that time, it was for Vietnam and places like that, and they looked at my health record. And I had bronchial asthma as a child, and actually still have it to this day. And so the sergeant was going through my papers, and he saw that, and he wrote 1Y and stamped it and handed it to me. And I said, what's this for? And he said, you can go. I said, go where? He said, we don't care, but it's not going to be in the armed forces. Hmm. And I said, why? He said, you have asthma. We can't have that in the armed forces. And so I went back to Lake Tahoe where I was appearing that night, and I was depressed because I had been turned down. And I had taken ROTC in high school and all of that. And when I walked out to the audience, the Marine Corps was celebrating its birthday, and they had bought out the showroom. And so it was full of uniforms. And so I came off stage and I said to my brother, I'm going to Vietnam. He said, what? I said, I'm going to Vietnam. Now, you don't have to come. I understand if you don't want to go and all that kind of thing. But I'm going. And I said, they can stop me from fighting, but they can't stop me from singing. And so I went to Vietnam twice. The first time when Vietnam hit, and then 2 years later to entertain our troops. And so we have been in every major conflict that our country has been in since Vietnam, entertaining our troops.
And it was inspired because you couldn't go and still wanted to serve.
Yes, yes.
Wow. One or two more things. So we just kind of touched on it, but is that kind of defining? Is that your biggest moment in charity? Are there things that you are doing that you would like us to be aware of and perhaps get involved in?
Well, I think just be aware of, and the ability to help people is a wonderful feeling. I have been involved in a place in Las Vegas called Opportunity Village, and it was built and has helped people with disabilities, mental, physical, and all of that, and has turned into one of the great flagships of all time for that kind of problem. And so I have always been one of those to step up and help any way I could. And it has availed itself to bringing back some wonderful, wonderful memories, and knowing that you were able to help in a way that you hadn't imagined.
And I think that leads us to our final question that you may have already answered. Like, the theme of this show, The Pulse, is use your voice for good. So I ask everybody what that phrase, use your voice for good, means to you.
I think it means when the time presents itself, and it will in your life, that you can help individuals, you can help companies, you can help all of those. Go ahead and do it, because there's no greater feeling in the world.
Mr. Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas. The show is called Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas, Memories and Melodies, on tour in our area at City Winery December 26th and 27th. So give yourself the gift of going to the show. I can't wait. I'm intrigued by these stories that we couldn't quite tell, but give them a little taste of. So we're going to have to come to the show. But thank you so much.
I would love for you to come to the show, and we'd be totally honored. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. It has been my pleasure.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with the legend, Wayne Newton. It was so cool hearing the various stories, the things that he presented. Some of the stories he just gave us a little bit of. You're going to have to check out his show to hear more of them. But it was fascinating. I enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. Do me a favor. Hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever pops up on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can download the Fox Local app. All of our 150-some-odd episodes are right there on demand at your fingertips, and follow me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Thank you so much for listening, and I leave you as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.